Okay, good morning and a good Chodesh, everyone. It's Chodesh Tammuz. It's mamish, the highest time for redemption. Yeah. Thank you. Shalom. Hi. Oh, Rodney, how are you? Good. I'd like to share, it's on the phone, so there's a lot of people. Most it's listened to on, yeah, okay. All right. We're holding over here at the story, in the middle of the story of the binding of Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. And we're holding at the pasuk, at the verse, let me pick it over here. Vayevayu al amakom, perek chav beis pasuk tes. It says, Vayevayu al amakom, they came to the place. Avram and Yitzchak came to the place. Asher amar lo Elokim, that Hashem said, Vayivin sham Avram es ha-mizbeach. And Avram built the altar, the mizbeach. Vayarech es ha-etzim, and he arranged the wood. Vayakod es Yitzchak benoi, and he bound his son Isaac. Vayasa Moise ala mizbeach, and he put him onto the altar. Mimala ate him above, on top of the wood. So this is this moment, the highest climax of devotion, dedication, and self-sacrifice, where Avram Avinu was taking Yitzchak and piling him up, and bound, putting him on the mizbeach, onto the wood. And again, this is the deepest moment of connection of the Jewish people to God. In regards to the coming of Mashiach, the Gemara says that this pasuk and what was happening right over here at this moment actually is going to be the ultimate defense of the Jewish people when Mashiach comes. It's a fascinating passage of the Talmud, which is very difficult to understand, and I haven't really found any clear, good explanation on it that really covers everything, but let's take a look at that Gemara, where the Talmud tells us about this event. The Gemara says, in Masechta Shabbos, in Daf Pei Tes, page 89. Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, Amar Reb Yonasan, in the name of Reb Yonasan. Maidach Siv. What is it that it says in the verse? There's a verse in Yeshaya, in Isaiah. It says, Ki Ata Avinu, you are our father. Okay? We say, you are our father. Simply, it's implying to God, to Hashem. You are our father. Why? Ki Avraham lo yadanu. Because our father Abraham doesn't know us. V'Yisrael lo yakireinu, and our father Israel, which is Yaakov, lo yakireini, he doesn't either recognize us. Ata Hashem avinu. You, God, are our father. Goyaleinu, our redeemer. May olam shemecha, forever your name has been that you're the redeemer of Israel. You're our Redeemer. What is this referring to? This is a verse that says that Avraham, our father Abraham, doesn't know us. Our father Yisrael, Yaakov, doesn't recognize us. And only you, Hashem, you are our father. So it's interesting. It doesn't mention Yitzchak. Isaac is not mentioned in this pasuk. It says our father Avraham. So the Medrash actually asked the question, the Medrash Rabbah, and the Medrash says, how come is Yitzchak isn't mentioned at all in this pasuk, together with Avram and Yaakov? So the Medrash answers a really, really kind of scary answer. The Medrash says that when Isaac was giving the blessings to Jacob, to Yaakov, and he was telling him that, you're going to be a master of your brother, and then later when Esau came, and he cried out, like, you gave away my blessings. What did you do? How did you? And so Yitzchak says to Esav that Al-Khar Bachatichi, you will live on your sword. And Vahaya Kashet Tarud, and it will be when Yaakov is still your master. Your brother Yaakov is still your master. But if Yaakov will remove the yoke of heaven, Vahaya Kashet Tarud, when he will descend in level, in his devotion and his dedication to God, when he will fall, Then ufarakta ula, you will remove your yoke, that Yaakov's yoke over you. You will remove it. You'll be a free man. Not only that, and then I'm giving you dominion over your brother Yaakov. And what should you do? I'm telling you, and this is instructions coming from Isaac, coming from Yitzchak to his son Esav, that what you should do is decree upon him shmadais, decree upon him all kinds of suffering and persecution. So you will get, by you persecuting your brother Yaakov, you will put your brother Yaakov in line, in service of God. So Yitzchak actually was the one who instigated all the suffering on the Jewish people through the exile. Now we know Yitzchak is the attribute of judgment. So the Medrash concludes with very frightening words. The Medrash says that a man who was the one who gave the idea that the children of Esav, which is Rome and all of its descendants, should persecute the Jewish people, and you're going to list him together with our fathers. Such critique against our father Yitzchak, that how can you put Yitzchak with our fathers when Yitzchak was the one who was willing to sell us down the creek? That's what the Medrash says. The Gemara comes along, and the Gemara says the total opposite. Over here, the Talmud. That the reason why Yitzchak is not mentioned over here when it says our father doesn't know us, Avram doesn't know us, and Isaac doesn't know us, the reason why Yitzchak is not mentioned over here is because Yitzchak isn't mentioned because of his defense for the Jewish people. Only Avram and Isaac don't, only Avram and Yaakov don't know us. They don't want to recognize us. But Yitzchak is going to be the ultimate defender. Why? So let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara says, La'asid Lavai, when Mashiach will come in the end of days, Yaimalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'Avram, God is going to say to Abraham, Banecha Chatuli, your sons have sinned to me. Your children have sinned. It's time to do a reckoning. It's the end of days. We have to take a look at what's going on, and I find that your children, the Jewish people, have sinned against me. Amar Lofanov. So Avram is going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, Yemachu al Kiddush Shemech, let they should be obliterated for the sanctification of your holy name. Shocking. They should be obliterated. But that's what Avram says. Avram says they should be obliterated. They should be obliterated for the sanctification. Avram says they should be obliterated for the sanctification of your name, which is, who can understand that? Especially since, as we're going to see soon, Avram represents kindness, infinite kindness. Avram couldn't hurt a fly, and here he's willing to have all of his children exterminated because he says, they sinned, God, I'm sorry, let them be erased. But that's what the Gemara says. Amar, Hashem says, Emel El Yaakov. You know what? I don't like the answer I got. God is not happy with that answer. So he says, you know what? If Avram is not going to help me out, I'm going to go to Yaakov. Emel El Yaakov, the Hevelet Tsar Gidol Banim. Maybe Yaakov is really going to care for them because Yaakov had Tsar Gidol Banim. Yaakov had pain. Yaakov had pain for the Jewish people. Yaakov is more sensitive as a father. Why is he more sensitive as a father? He had a hard time raising his children. His 12 sons, they didn't give him an easy time. He suffered quite a lot, Yaakov. And when a person has a hard time with his children, he develops greater love for them. Because the work, toil, and the work with raising the children, you know, he puts you through like every relationship. The more challenging it is, the more the love comes out. So God says, you know, if Avram is willing to just dismiss them and write them off, then maybe Yaakov will defend them. So he speaks to Yaakov, and he says, "Efshe d'boy rachmi." Maybe Yaakov is going to plead mercy for them. Amalei, he says to Yaakov, "Banecha chatu, your children sinned." Amalafanav, he says before God, "Rebbeinu Shlomo, the master of the world, yemachu al kedusha shemecha, they should be erased for the sanctification of your name." Same shocking answer that Avram says, they should be erased and your Amar, so Hashem says like this, Loi besabi taima, There is no reasoning coming from the grandfather. The grandfather is not giving me a good reason. And the children, meaning the grandson Yaakov, is a child. Eitza, I'm not getting good counsel. I don't like the counsel, not from the old man and not from the young youth, not from the child. I need to go. Let me try Yitzchak. Amar lo Yitzchak. So he turns to Yitzchak. He says, "Okay, he's too old. Maybe he's gone senile. He's too young. He's immature. He's not really understanding what's going on. But let me speak to Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is at a mature age. We'll talk to Yitzchak and see what Yitzchak says." He says, "Banecha chatuli, your sons have sinned to me." Amar lefanav. So Yitzchak says to God, "Ribbono shel Olam, the master of the world." He right away he picks up. He says, "Banai, my children, v'loy banecha, not your children." So, because God says, "Your children sinned against me." He said, "Hold it over here. Your children." Suddenly, why are they my children? And they're not your children. They're your children too. He says, "Listen, if you're going to use the term child, you got to realize what child means. Child is your child when the child is cute, and the child is a child when the child talks back to you. It's both your child. I mean, a different relationship you can choose. You know, it's something that you can go into a child is an essential element, part of the father. They're your children no matter what." So therefore, he says, when the Jews stood in front of Har Sinai and they said, "Anas of Inishma, we will do and we will hear," at that moment when they're willing to accept the Torah, you call them your children. And now you're saying they're my children. At that time, B'shosh Shatim Lefanech Anas Anishma Kras Alehem B'ni B'chayri, you called them my son, my firstborn. Achshav Banai V'loi Banecha. Now they're my sons and not your children. So first of all, let's set that straight. They're your children. Number one. V'oid. Now, let's get to the argument. You're saying they sinned. Kamachatu. How much did they sin? Let's really work this out. Let's get into the detail over here. And you're making a blanket statement. They sinned. Let's break that down. Kamashanaisav Shaladam. How much does a person live? Shivim Shana. Average 70 years. 70 years lifespan of a human being. Okay, till 20 years old, we know God doesn't hold a person responsible. He's immature. He doesn't know what he's doing. The teenage years, you're off. Dal esrim deloyan anshalei. Till 20, you know, we know that God doesn't punish till the age of 20. So that doesn't count. It's not on the chem. So what are we left? We're left with 50 years. Pashulam chamishim. So we're left with 50 years over here that we have to reckon with. 50 years of sin. Okay, so now let's break that down. During those 50 years of life, half the time they're sleeping. So they're not sinning when they're sleeping. Dal chafei delailsa. Take off 25 of night. Actually, it's over here, you see, it's very good that you sleep 12 hours a night. Okay, the more you sleep, the better. It comes for the defense. Take away 25 years of their life of nighttime, and that's when they're sleeping, simply. And therefore, they're not really sinning. Pashalu chafhei. So now you're left over with 25. 25 years of sin. Worst scenario, 25 years of sin. Well, tal tarti sari apalga, knock off another 12 and a half. Let's divide it. Why? Ditzluya, because they're davening. Obviously, we're talking about, hopefully, the Jewish people in the time when they are kind of basically keeping the mitzvot. They're just doing sins here and there. But they're praying. So you got 12 and a half hours where they're praying, umechel, and they're eating with a beis hakiseh. See, the longer you're in the bathroom, that's actually good. So they're 12 and a half years of your life eating and praying. And it's interesting. It doesn't say they're going out to work. They're busy. So what are you left with? Pashalu tarti sariopal. You're left with free time. How much? 12 and a half years of a person's life that he could have been sitting. Okay, so then he says like this. If you can handle, because you told me, they sinned all the time. That's a lot. But now that it's not their whole life, we're from the 70 years of a person's life, we're down to 12 and a half years that they could have been sinning. If you can handle 12 and a half years of sin and just forgo on it, forgive them for it, good. Mutav is good. Vimlav, and if you can't shoulder it all yourself, this is Isaac speaking to God. Yitzhak saying to Hashem, if you can't shoulder it all on your own, pal galah half upon me, upal galah half upon you. Let's split it in half. Okay, 12 and a half, 6 1/4 years will be on me, 6 will be on you, and we'll even out, and now we're okay. I'll take the brunt of responsibility for the 6 1/2 years of sin of every individual. Okay, it's pretty much to take on the shoulder, but that's what he's saying. The imtim, if you're going to say, no, no, I don't want that. Kulam alai, you want to dump the whole thing on me. Okay, well, hakrevis nafshoi kamach, I've already sacrificed myself before you. I went on to the altar, I stretched out my neck before you. So that should be enough to erase the debt. So that let it be. Paschu ve'amru, so the Jewish people hear when Yitzchak, everybody's going to be there when Yitzchak is going to get up to defend the Jewish people. Paschu ve'amru, they're all going to open up their mouth. They're going to say, ki ata avinu, you are our father. That's when the verse says, ki ata avinu, it's not referring to God. It's ki ata avinu, you are our father. Meaning they're saying it to Isaac, to Yitzchak, you are our father, not Yaakov and not Avram, who were willing to just write us off. Amalam Yitzchak. So Yitzchak says to the Jewish people, Acha atem makalsam li. Until you're praising me, kalsu l'akadosh baruch hu. Praise God. Umachvele Yitzchak akadosh baruch hu be'inayu. And Yitzchak shows them God with their eyes. Suddenly everybody has a vision and they see Hashem. He opens up the eyes of the Jewish people to gaze at God. Miyad nasu einayim, instantly they raise their eyes up, lamarim va'omru, and they say, Ata Hashem avinu goyaleinu me'olam shemecha. You are God who has been our Redeemer, forever has been your name. That's the passage of the Talmud that, of course, is so cryptic and so hard to understand from the beginning to the end. This whole Gemara. First question I want to ask is the contrast that we see between this pasuk as it is translated by the Medrash and this pasuk as it's translated in the Gemara in regards to Yitzchak. In the Medrash Rabbah, it says that Yitzchak is not counted amongst Avram and Yisrael, Avram and Yaakov, because Yitzchak said to Esav, persecute them, bring a holocaust upon them if they're not behaving and they're not doing what they caused them to suffer, who knows what. So how can we put Yitzchak, count Yitzchak, and to be one of our fathers? How can Isaac be amongst Abraham and Yisrael? Right? That's according to the Medrash, that Yitzchak is not mentioned in this pasuk. According to the Talmud, it's the opposite. Yitzchak is the one that we're saying, ki ata avinu, you're our only father, because you're the only one who will stand up for us in the time for this. So how can we reconcile such two extremes? So who is Yitzchak? Is Yitzchak willing to make the Jewish people suffer in the worst kind of suffering? Or is Yitzchak the ultimate defender and the advocate for the Jewish people? How can there be such an extreme argument from the sages and how we are to view Yitzchak as the ultimate savior of the Jewish people or someone who we can't even call our father? That's a question. That's a question that Tzemach Tzedek asks. How can you reconcile these two things? In general, we have to understand what is going on over here. It's very strange because we know that Avram represents the attribute of kindness. Yaakov represents the attribute of mercy. Yitzchak represents the attribute of stern justice. And here the Gemara is implying that when Avram and Yaakov do not come through for the Jewish people, and they seem to be taking their opposite, saying, you know, God, destroy them, and only Yitzchak is the one who defends them. So how can it be? That doesn't make any sense. That Midas HaGevura, the element of Gevura, of judgment, and we know that in Kabbalistically, we know that every Rosh Hashanah, the main work that takes place that we're doing through the blowing of the shofar, mystically, it says that we're evoking the power of Avram and the power of Yaakov. The Zohar describes this long description of how Avram and Yaakov go and they tie Yitzchak. And they bind him with ropes in order that Yitzchak should not be able to break out, which means because Yitzchak is the attribute of stern justice, and we don't want that on Rosh Hashanah. So how can it be that Yitzchak is totally opposite over here, that when Avram and Yaakov don't defend, and Yitzchak is the defender? It just doesn't make any sense. So there's very interesting explanations over here. First, the Arma Farshim will want to say, and the Marsha brings this as well, and so too the Eulal Safrai, and these are earlier Talmudic commentators. Because first let's try to understand this before we get a little deeper into it, just in the simple level. There are those who want to say that when Avram and Yaakov said, Yimachu, let it be erased, Al Kiddush Shemecha, for the sanctification of your name, it's not clear what Avram meant. He doesn't say, let it be erased, let them be erased. He says, they should be erased. Who is the they? The they can be the sins, or the they can be the people. So the Marsha says, the Marsha, he says that when Yaakov, Avram said what he said, and Yaakov says what he says, he leaves it ambiguous. It can be interpreted this way, or it can be interpreted that way, and that's why he goes to talk to Yitzchak, because they left it open, because you don't know from their words. Yeah, but then you have to understand that itself, and why are they saying it in a way that it's not clear? Let them say it in a way that God, so to speak, hears clearly what they're saying. Let them, your sins, the sins should be erased for the sanctification of God's name. We ask that. We say, Asei l'man kiddush shemecha, say for the sanctification of your name, erase our sins. Fine. The Eilis Ephraim learns that God is not happy with Avram's response. He learns clearly that when Avram says, let them be erased, he's referring to the sins. But Avram is saying, Avram is not giving any reasoning. He's just saying, okay, so forget about it, erase the sins. Because of his extreme kindness, he's saying, so what? So erase it. It's a problem, there's sins. God, erase it and clean it off. So God says, well, Avram is just saying, just erase it, because he didn't have pain raising his children. Which means he doesn't know what it means, what it is for a parent to go through when your children are giving you a hard time. And therefore, the fact that God is saying, these are my children, and they've caused me so much pain and agony, and you're just saying erase them, he can say it easily, Avram can say it easily, because Avram did not suffer the pain of a parent having a child that's rebellious. Or he had a child, actually, that was difficult, but Avram, it doesn't say anywhere that most of his life he didn't have children, and he had children at the end of his life, he doesn't have that experience. Yaakov suffered from his children. So he will understand what I've gone through. He will identify with me, and he might maybe give a better argument to defend them, not just erase the sins just like that. That's what Hashem is saying. Let me go to Yaakov. Comes to Yaakov, and Yaakov says the same thing because Yaakov is mercy. So Yaakov says, erase it without a reason. So therefore, that was the problem with Avram and Yaakov. Not that they are not defending. They are defending, but their defense is not considering God's hurt and God's suffering that he has from all the sins, what we've done. They're dismissing the sins to begin with. So God is looking for someone to help him deal, kind of. God is looking for a therapist, kind of, to help him work it out within himself that he should be able to forgive them. So then he finds Yitzchak, and Yitzchak is the man of justice. So Yitzchak actually works out the calculation. Yitzchak does the math. Yitzchak does the accounting. And finds, even according to justice, that the sins are not that much. That's what it sounds like to be so much. And then he works it out to help God kind of cope with forgiving the Jewish people for all the sins that we've done and being able to give us what needs to be given. And that would be the explanation in the end. We say, you're to Avram and Yaakov, you're not our father. In this sense, because your defense was not, didn't help. It's not that he didn't defend. Their defense did not help. Their defense didn't help, but Yitzchak was able to work it out. This Pirush is very good, because this Pirush actually puts Yitzchak in his right place. They're all three are defending. It's just that the defense of Avram and Yaakov are irrational. It's weaker because it doesn't have any reason to it. And Yitzchak at least is arguing it out, which is more fitting for Yitzchak, because he is looking at things from a point of justice. And in justice itself, okay. That's one Pirush. They want to learn. I saw someone bring from the Or HaChaim, the great Rab Chaim ben Attar, whose yahrzeit is in the month of Tammuz. So it's good to mention him on Rosh Chodesh. He's answering mainly the question, why Avram and Yaakov? Why Avram can... The last thing you would expect of our father Avram was to speak and to say that the Jewish people should be erased. Again, according to the first interpretation, the simple meaning of the Gemara, that Avram is saying, erase them. So the Or HaChaim says that this was more a scheme. Avram and Yaakov were really playing the thing over here really well to make sure that the Jewish people are going to be vindicated. And it was a little trick, because everything is done according to halacha, according to the ruling guidelines of Torah. The ruling guidelines of Torah is when you come to a court and everybody in the court finds the defendant guilty, then the person is innocent. The person goes free. if the entire, in any kind of capital case in a Jewish court, if it's a unanimous vote from the entire court that the man is guilty, then the guy's off the hook. That's the rule. It's only if you have, what's it called again, at least one person defending, then, because you say, and the reason is because if you couldn't find even one bit of justice in it, that means you didn't really look at the case well. You have to be, I mean, not justice, you couldn't find any merit. A human being has to have some bit of merit. If there's no merit at all that you couldn't find, it's a sign that you didn't really, you weren't looking at this from a good place. Okay, that's the rule, whatever it is. If everybody says chayev, so therefore Avram was in a dilemma. He knows that the man following him is Yitzchak. He knows the court over here is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He knows that Yitzchak is a man of justice. Now Yaakov is a mixture. We know rachamim, compassion, is a mixture of kindness and judgment. So Yitzchak, he knows what Yitzchak is going to say. He knows that Isaac is going to say, Isaac is going to come down hard on the sins, because that's what Isaac is. Yaakov, Avram is in doubt about what Yaakov is going to do, because Yaakov he's a blend, he's in the middle between kindness and judgment and severity. So he's not sure exactly where Yaakov is going to land. So he says like this, if I'm going to say innocent, and then Isaac and Yaakov are going to both take the other side against, and they're going to say guilty. So it's going to be two guilty against one innocent, and two guilty against one innocent is guilty. It's the majority saying guilty. So his plan is like this. If I start off saying guilty, and there's one more very important rule. A judge cannot change his mind. Once he gave his verdict, a judge is not allowed to change his mind. However, he can't change his mind to accuse, but he could change his mind to vindicate and to release. So therefore, Avram is playing the cards as follows. He's going to say guilty. So if both of them follow with guilt, then it's going to be all three of them saying guilty, and they're off the hook. Okay, see, that was the Avram's one. If Yaakov is going to, on the other hand, if Yaakov is going to say guilty, and then Yitzhak is going to say guilty, okay, then all three will say guilty. If Yaakov says innocent and Yitzhak says guilty, then Avram is going to be part of the majority saying guilty. Then he can pull back his thing and change his mind. Because you can change that way, you can't change the other. So this is according to the Orach Chaim that Avram's, obviously, these are great tzaddikim who are climbing into the shoes of our forefathers and trying to figure out when you're presented with God asking you this question at the end of days, and all of the Jewish people are hanging on your defense, and you got and obviously if God says they sinned, there's no defense over here. So Yitzchak works it out really in a very clever way. It's not that he's arguing it's not a sin. He's just saying that, you know, how much is it already? I can take it on my. So this is his explanation. Rav Tzadik, HaKoyen of Lublin, explains this idea of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How can it be that Dafka Yitzchak, whose stern judgment is the one who finds innocence? He says because that's the beauty of judgment. Judgment is it criticizes. It finds critique on everything. And its ultimate power is to critique itself. See? The ultimate power of judgment is to be judgmental on judgment. So here God comes, and God comes with criticism. They sinned against me, and I need to erase them. What does Yitzchak do? Yitzchak takes judgment to its ultimate strength, and he criticizes the judgment itself. He criticizes the critic. That's what he's doing. In other words, the ultimate kavana of, this is great, everything has to be used for a good purpose. Generally, criticism, that God created gevura, What's the element of Gevura? It brings all kinds of punishment and all kinds of suffering in the world. But what's the real reason God created Gevura? God created the Gevura for it to criticize criticism. So when you have the ultimate criticism, where God criticizes and wants, based on justice, to annihilate and to bring the worst kind of suffering, comes Gevura itself and takes that case to pieces, breaks it down, and destroys it with its criticism on the criticism. So that's where Gevura will reach its ultimate thing. This fits very well according to a deeper understanding of Chassidus that the Tzemach Tzedek says. And that is that there's two levels of Gevura. There is Gevura, as we spoke about this many times when we've been talking about Yitzchak, that there's two levels of Gevura. There is Gevura as Gevura finds itself in its manifest application in this world, where Gevura, when it's in its manifest application in this world, is harshness, judgment, bringing about punishment, cleansing, and all the like, exile, suffering, all coming from the attribute of Gevura. But there is Gevura as it is in its very, very quintessential source, where it's originating in God itself. And over there, Gevura is not Gevura, but Gevura is the intensification of kindness. It's the idea that when you love someone very much, you want the best of them, and sometimes you have to be harsh with them. So the deepest love that a parent has for a child is when they are disciplining their child. So if the child is looking at the parent externally and the father is disciplining him, he thinks, my father hates me, he's cruel, he's mean, and this great distance. But when the child gets older and he realizes, how much did it take for my father to do something that is totally going against the grain of his natural instinct to be loving and caring and embracing, but he had to be tough with me, which hurt him so much, but he did it because he meant my good and he needed to take care of me. Which we know, by the way, is the explanation of the month of Tammuz, which we started today. These are the 2 months of galus, of suffering, but we know that when Mashiach will come, Tammuz and Av are going to be the biggest holidays. Tisha B'Av is going to be the biggest holiday. Because the inside of Gevura, the innermost of Gevura, is really Chesed. And that is why the Tzemach Tzedek says, we asked the question before, how do we reconcile the Medrash on this Pasuk and the Gemara on this Pasuk? The Medrash on the Pasuk says we can't even list Isaac amongst our fathers. We can't even list Isaac amongst our fathers. Why can't we list Isaac amongst our fathers? Yitzchak, because Yitzchak says to Esav, persecute the Jewish people. If they're not listening to God, unleash hell upon them. And then the Gemara says that Yitzchak is going to defend the Jewish people in the end of days. So how do the two, and that's why Yitzchak is not mentioned in this verse, because these two don't recognize us, and Yitzchak is going to defend us. So he explains the difference is Gevura today and Gevura after Mashiach comes. The Medrash is looking at Gevura today. Gevura today seems to be mean, harsh, painful, stinging, burning. That's Gevura today. The Gemara is talking about Gevura after Mashiach comes. And Gevura after Mashiach comes, then you will also realize that all the suffering of the Jewish people and all the pain that we've gone through is actually what will save us at the end of days. Which, by the way, is one of the explanations of when it says half the time is night. What do you mean? People don't sin at night? They sin at night. So what does it mean half the time is night? There is no sin. What he meant is half the time is the time of exile. And exile is time of suffering. And two things happen in exile. Number one, we can't really blame that much the people for sin. Yeah, we can't really blame the people that much for their sins, because so much of it is because of their pain and their suffering. And the Gemara says that exile makes us lose our minds. Suffering, Yisurim, takes a person out from their understanding, number one. And number two, the exile itself is an atonement for the sins of the Jewish people. So we find, Tzemach Tzedek adds an interesting idea, that we find that Yitzchak was chofer be'eros. He was digging wells. That was the one thing the Torah says about Yitzchak's occupation, is that he was a well digger. And what's the idea of digging wells? You're digging in the earth. Earth represents dirt, darkness, hardship. And from the dirt itself, what comes out when you're digging in the dirt? Water, spring water, waters of life. So all the suffering of exile, all the pain, everything that Yitzchak has brought upon the Jewish people, the tough love, is to bring us to the fresh spring water that comes out, the purest mikveh that comes out when Mashiach comes. So that's the two elements. So and going back to what Rav Tzaddik says, that's where Gevura turns on itself. If it needs to criticize something, it's critical on criticism. And it breaks the criticism itself instead of the Gevura. It's in a sense, the Gevura is not turning outward to criticize others. It's turning inward on itself to be, and it's destroying its own Gevura. It's eliminating itself with its criticism on itself. And that's what we find over here, that Yitzchak is saying, like, what kind of critique is this? What kind of argument is this when you see it doesn't make any sense? Now, there's one more interesting thing. The Art Scroll brings an interpretation that's really nice from Yaakov Kamenetsky, which I really thought is really nice. He says that, how can it be that Yitzchak is the one who defends the Jewish people against... And the others are not. So he says, well, that's the test that you see each one of. It's similar to what Rav Tzaddik says, and it goes along the same lines. But he says it's the test for each midah, for each one of our fathers, is that God tests him to see if he can overcome that very nature that characterizes them. For example, Avram is the man of kindness. He's a man of kindness. Everything about him is kindness. What does God test him? With cruelty. He has to bind Yitzchak and slaughter his one and only son. Cruelty. He has to send away his only son and kick him out of the house. Not his only son. He has to send away Yishmael. He loves Yishmael. He has to kick him out of the house. So you see that Avram is tested with a test that goes against the grain of who he is. Yaakov is a man of truth. Yaakov Emes. His idea is truth. And Yaakov is tested. Will he go and say something which is not that truthful when he's going to his father, stealing the blessings? He has to, constantly in his life, Yaakov is faced with a need to act in a deceptive manner. He has to cheat his uncle Laban out from the, make, he makes deals with him, he has to sneak his way around. He has to work, he has to sneak his way with his brother Esau two times. He takes the blessing away from him. Even though he did it through an element of a sale, and then he has to dress up like his brother Esav and say, I am Esav, or whatever. Technically, he avoids a lie. But the idea that Yaakov has to work in an opposite manner of who he is, that was his test. And what's the test of Yitzchak? Where do we find Yitzchak being tested? Well, Yitzchak is tested at this moment. After Avram says that the Jewish people should be killed, after Yaakov says the Jewish people that are killed, we come to Yitzchak, who's the midah of judgment, and now is where Yitzchak has to overcome what Yitzchak is, and Yitzchak is Gevura, and Yitzchak has to go to the total opposite, and Yitzchak defends the Jewish people with such a magnificent defense. So each one is working on their own thing, because in Chassidus it is explained that that a midah is a midah, but the ultimate world of tikkun is when you don't serve God in one mode, you're able to serve God in any way that is necessary, which means by transcending the character and the chemistry of the makeup of who you are and what you are. If you can transcend that, then you're going beyond, and then you're causing harmony in all the midot, in all the attributes above, and bringing about geula. So this somehow gives a little explanation to a very, very, very complex Gemara, which I feel very much that I still don't understand. I think it's something that needs some more research and more investigation on understanding what this means. This, but I think maybe it sheds a little bit of light of what we spoke about today. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, next week Thursday. We will continue with our next class. Everybody should have a Gebench to Chodesh, a wonderful, good, special, good month. Okay.